We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast today as we get started on another week of discussing God's refreshing word. 91.5 FM, WMIE. We are on at 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, WWBC 1510 AM. I believe that also goes across the FM dial at 100.7. You may also be listening to WMIEFM.com on the on-demand feature. However you are able to listen, we want to say thank you. We're just so thankful that technology enables us to reach beyond the distance that my natural voice could be able to carry. And so lots of people, in fact, you might not even know how many people, if you're listening at work, there might be people who are listening that you don't even know about. I know that that my wife hears a lot of things that come across the radio at work. It's not stations that she gets to pick up on, but she hears a whole lot of different types of music in the workplace that she works at. So we are going to be in Isaiah chapter 60 again today, talking about some things from verse number 10 on down. But we want to say thank you, first of all, to Creative AC Solutions 759-3284, Bill Andriak. His wife Heidi is our worship leader, and Bill is able to help you with any heating or air conditioning needs that you might have in the central part of the county. I can tell you it works best if you need him early in the day, because he has other responsibilities as well. So if he can be of a blessing to you, give him a call, 759-3284, 759-3284. And we've got our missions convention coming up here very soon, and looking forward to what God is going to do in that. And had a wonderful time at church yesterday, and thank God that he can transform our hearts. Amen. God is the first person that ever talks about doing a heart transplant, and says in the Word of God, I will take out a heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. And so I pray that God would change all of us, not on a superficial level, but at the core of our being. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so thank God for a transformed heart. Let's get back to verse number 10 of Isaiah chapter 60, if we can. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. So last Friday we were talking about people coming into your life that would help build you up, and people who would come that would have a servant's heart. And you and I should have a servant's heart, and we need to take time to be able to trust one another and get to know one another. But then we need to be able to let people operate in the gifts that God has given to them. And so that's where we were on Friday. Today I want to focus on this, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. In my favor, I have had mercy on you. God is a God of mercy. God is also, it says in his word, his wrath is equal to his mercy. And so the world likes to focus on the one part, that God is love, not realizing that there is an equal side to that, that says there's coming a time that I am going to deal with those who did not want me to rule and reign over them. They're going to find that they are overmatched in intellect. They are overmatched in tactics. They are overmatched in strength. They are overmatched in wealth. They are overmatched in wisdom. In fact, they're overmatched in every capacity. Listen, when God sets himself in opposition to the proud, it is not a fair fight. Please don't think that the devil and God are equal in strength or tactics or capabilities, because it just is not the reality. It is a lopsided contest. When Jesus comes to triumph, ultimately it will be because of the sword of the word of God that goes out of his mouth. It will be over before you can blink. I was driving back last week from Jacksonville, and my wife was keeping me updated, and my team was just getting beaten badly, and it just didn't go well. And you know, that's just a football game. What we're talking about is with spiritual warfare, is that that when God comes to impose his will upon this earth, there's not going to be any resisting it. He will have his way. His plans will not be thwarted. And when he sends forth his word, it will not miss its mark. It will strike whatever purpose it went forth to accomplish. So I want you to know that the greatest indicator of God's favor is his mercy. And so I need to be thankful for his mercy, thankful that I didn't get. So let me remind you once again of the definition of mercy and the definition of grace. They are two similar concepts, but they are different in the application. Mercy is me not getting what I do deserve. Mercy is me not receiving that which I do deserve. Grace is me receiving something that I didn't deserve. So mercy says I'm not going to receive the penalty that I deserved. Grace says, or favor says, I am going to get a blessing that I didn't deserve. Now, here's where our human nature can come into play. And that is, a lot of times when we see people getting something that we didn't get, or we see people receiving something that they didn't deserve, whenever we see grace on display in someone else's life, all of a sudden there can be a spirit of jealousy that arises up within us. And we say, wait a minute, why are they getting that when I didn't get that? That's not fair. Okay. And so whenever somebody starts talking to me and they start complaining about how this isn't right and that's not right and this other thing isn't right, I can tell you, you know what? You are absolutely right. This world is not fair. It's not fair that Jesus had to go to the cross. I deserve to go to the cross. God is just, though. He's never made a mistake. He never will make a mistake. And so a lot of people have problems when God dispenses favor in other people's life, but yet they are very appreciative when mercy is demonstrated in their life. They have a problem demonstrating mercy to others. That was what the parable of the unforgiving servant was all about. He received mercy for his debt, but was refusing to extend favor or mercy to the person that was indebted to him, and instead had him arrested and thrown into prison. I'm thankful for the grace of God. And so when you come to church, I can introduce you to people that if you say, how are you today? Their response will be, I'm blessed and highly favored. They are extremely appreciative of the mercy that God has shown them, but he didn't stop with mercy. He continues with grace and favor. And so that I think is just a tremendous aspect. Let's look at verse number 11. Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in possession. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. You've got to remember what a strange context this concept would have for people living in that day and time. In this era, people tended to live in walled villages, towns that had perimeter walls around them, gates that restricted who came in and who came out. It was a security mechanism that kept the bad guys out, and there would be watchmen that would be up on the wall looking for hostile forces that may be trying to force their way in with malicious intent into the city to try and overthrow it or destroy it or plunder it. That was what took place. You see, Satan has always been a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so you read in Nehemiah, and they put the wall up, and there was a gate for this. There was the king's gate, the dung gate. There were all sorts of gates that were going on in Nehemiah. And all of those gates were put in place. There, in Nehemiah, when it came time for the Sabbath, there were people who were coming in that were trying to get the children of Israel to sin by violating the Sabbath, and Nehemiah shut the gate to keep them out. So that was the intent. By the way, I can put that in a New Testament context for you as well, because Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so I want to remind you that you and I, gates do not move, they swing. And so if the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then we have to understand that that means that we are supposed to be saints on the move. We are supposed to be men and women of valor that are willing to engage the forces of darkness in their territory, and that their greatest fortification will not be able to withstand the weapons that God has placed into our hand. Okay, that's the primary mindset. But here was a tactic that that people created, and that is, if you got people in a walled-in city where they shut the gates to keep you out, for many of them, that meant that they could no longer get resources inside. And so they were no longer able to get food inside. They were no longer to get water inside. And so enemies that could not gain access because the gates were shut and the fortifications were in place, they said, okay, we will just wait you out. And so many places in our society, they say, okay, we might not be able to overpower Christians, but we will just isolate you, we will just marginalize you, and we'll just wait for you to die. And many Christians have been content to just grab hold of each other's hands and sing Kumbaya, and I can't sing Kumbaya because I don't know all the words to it. And if I sang all the words, I don't know what they all mean, and so nobody wants to hear me sing Kumbaya. You and I, we're not called to be separated from them out of fear. We are called to go to them in faith. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Not faith in myself, not faith in my own abilities, but faith in Jesus Christ, to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been granted. And he has said, come on, boys, come on, ladies, let's go redeem the lost. Let's go set the captives free. What if we looked at the Great Commission and we put it in those words? All authority's been given to me. All power's been given to me in heaven and on earth. We've got this thing in the bag. Come on, saints, let's go set the captives free. Wouldn't that be a great way to look at doing evangelism? And so the gates that Isaiah talks about, he said, listen, because of this, remember, you've got to go back to the first part of the chapter all throughout this. He says, because the Lord will arise over you, in verse 2, because his glory will be seen upon you, because you are going to arise and you are going to shine. You're going to emerge and reflect the glory of the Lord. He said, because of that, you won't be shutting your gates. You won't be shutting your gates in fear. But instead, you are going to be opening your gates in faith. He said, because those gates that used to be shut, they're going to be open now, and there's going to be blessing upon blessing upon blessing that is coming your way. And if it won't come through men, God's not restricted to that process. He says, if you will bring the tithe into the storehouse, test me in this, prove me in this, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you do not have room enough to contain. You see, God's got natural and he's got supernatural means. But whatever you do, don't cut yourself off from the flow of God's blessing. When I was a child, I had some friends, and fire broke out in their house on Christmas Eve. And because of the security measures they had taken, I don't know why they had done this, but all of their windows had things on them that prevented them from getting out. And people that I went to school with ended up dying on Christmas Eve because fire broke out in their house. It was determined later that it originated in their hot water tank and they couldn't get out of the house. They were so secure that it led to their own death. And I remember that. So when we came to Merit Assembly of God, we found some security measures that were in place that were designed to keep the enemy out, but I also recognized that it looked an awful lot like a prison cell. There were things over the windows that would not allow you to get out if you needed to. And so one of the first things that we did was we took all of those things off, because we're able to live by faith, not by fear. And so I want to encourage you not to imprison yourselves, not to be so focused on your own safety that you end up leading to your own demise. Let the gates be open so that God can bring blessing. Now, if the enemy can't shut the gate in your life, he will try and get you to do it. He will try and get you to shut the gate, because if you are not about the king's business, if you're not using the provision that you've already received, then there's no sense for additional provision to be brought. If you're not going to utilize what God has brought to you, why would he need to bring any more? If you're not going to be reaching the people that you can with the people you have already been entrusted with as far as the church, why would he need to bring any more? If you're not going to do anything with the sermon that you heard last week, why would he need to bring a fresh word from heaven for you this week when you're not utilizing the word? I know I've gone from teaching now into meddling now, but if we're not going to be proactive, what are we waiting for? I want to be that person that says, God, we have used up everything we've got. We're going to need reinforcements because we've got the enemy on the run. We've got souls being saved. We've got marriages being restored. We've got a lot of things that are going right. We're going to need divine reinforcements. That's the type of things that I'm looking for. God wants us to have the open doors. Now let me show you what it says here. Okay. By the way, it says if they won't serve, then, you know, you got to deal with that. The reason that they were coming was to be a blessing. The reason that they were coming was to enhance the ministry. The reason that they're coming is to bring provision and divine provision so that the kingdom would expand. So you've got to have that. Let's look at verse number 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. So let's look at verse number 13, and that is that when these gates are open, people are not going to be bringing you their junk. They are going to be bringing you their best. Lebanon was the place that people went to for the choicest of lumber. It was a beautiful place for forestry. And so when Solomon built his temple, even though this was before Isaiah's passage here, it was Lebanon that they went to for that. There's some pictures of the trees that used to grow out in the far west and the northwest, and they're just amazing at the magnitude of how large some of those trees went. We just recently had a casualty as far as one of those significant landmarks go, because one of the giant redwoods came crashing down because of the storms that they have had out there that has ended their drought. They've got so much moisture that has come to them, precipitation, rain and snow, that some of those shallow rooted systems that they're now beginning to collapse. These people, because the gates were open, they weren't going to be bringing junk. They were going to be bringing their best. And I want you to see what it says there: to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Yeah, I'm just gonna tell you right now, if you get offended easily, you might want to curl up your toes. You say, well, radio, people who preach on the radio, they're not supposed to step on people's toes. Well, I'm not everybody. Okay? I'm not doing this to be mean. I'm just trying to give you an accurate portrayal of what heaven is like. Around the throne of God are people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And you can focus on the beauty of your architecture, or you can focus on the things that really make God's house beautiful. Now listen, I am all for, because when we first came to Merit Assembly of God, the carpet was ugly. I mean, if you needed 3.5-inch shag carpet, we had some of that in the fellowship hall. And so I'm not saying that you are supposed to be in a rundown facility. You're supposed to take care of the house. Your rafters should not sag. You need to make sure that you maintain the integrity of the building. You need to do the best that you can to make it beautiful. But I'm here to tell you that the real beauty, the lasting beauty, is not superficial. It's not the color of the paint. It's not the color of the carpet. It's not whether, you know, it appeals to men or it appeals to women. The real things that makes the house of God beautiful is two things. First of all, it is the presence of the Lord, and that is what is drawing these people here. Okay, that's what is being talked about in Isaiah 60, is that people are seeing the beauty of God's handiwork on display in the lives of real men and real women, and they are being drawn to it. And it says they are going to bring their best, and that's not only going to be the best of their gifts, it is going to be the best of their possessions as well. God is not a God of limited resource. I'm here to declare it in 2017. But it is also going to be the beauty of their diversity. Okay? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. You know what gets me excited? Is when I see people from all over the world coming together to worship the same Savior who shed his one blood to cleanse all of us from our sins. So, as last week my office manager and I, we were looking at a report. We were filling out a report that we got to fill out every year. And one of the things is it asks you to look at the demographic of the congregation, of all of the different people that come, and what the representation of that looks like. And I can tell you this, that when we did that, I rejoiced, because in 2016, we had a better representation of people from all over the world than ever before. Do we still have a long way to go? I mean, we averaged 56 people on a Sunday morning last year, 57 people in attendance on a Sunday morning last year. There are 100 and some odd nations in the world. So guess what? We've got a long ways to go, but we're getting there. We're getting there. We are saying, God, we are not looking to only for it to be our family and no more of that us four and no more bit. We are looking to reach the nations with the love of Jesus Christ. And so we get excited when people who don't look like us, maybe there's a bit of a language issue there where we might even struggle with being able to communicate with one another with a tremendous amount of ease. But when they're worshiping God with all their heart and we're worshiping God with all our heart, we know this: Jesus is being glorified, and we are seeing a microcosm of heaven at that moment where around the throne there is worship that is going on. Let's be intentional about making the house of God a place that represents the pattern that we see in heaven, okay? And so I get really excited about that. Don't imprison yourself. Make the house of God beautiful. And when you do that, when your mission is to make the house of God beautiful, God is going to make it glorious. And it says here in verse number 14, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Back up to verse number 13, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. That was the verse that I was looking for. God will have the place where he has established his throne room, his feet resting upon the necks of his enemies. That's the place where it is going to be a glorious place. It's going to be absolutely marvelous. Don't miss heaven for the world. Don't get stuck in just your own little, if it doesn't look like me, it can't be of God. Let's reach as many people from as many different backgrounds as we can with the love of Jesus, because Jesus wants them to be part of the family. Father, I pray this week, Lord, that your kingdom would be glorious, that the gates of hell would not prevail against us. God, I pray that darkness would lose its grip over people that you died to save. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that as we gather this weekend, Lord, it would be a better representation of the pattern we see in heaven. People from every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshiping Jesus Christ, the one and only King. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.